Just a couple of quick notes for you here. The sermon that I will present to you this morning is not mine. It's Pastor Steve's. He had it all ready to go, and I did make a couple little modifications here and there, but it's his sermon, so you understand that. So all of which is to say, if you like it, tell me. If you're not so sure, mention it to Steve sometime. Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Pastor Tom had a little 5-year-old daughter, and she noticed one day and mentioned it to her father that he always paused and bowed his head for a moment before starting his sermon. So one day she was curious about that, so she said, "Daddy, why do you do that? Why do you stop for that and bow your head?" Well, he was kind of pleased that she was paying attention at all. He said, "Well, I do that because I want to ask the Lord to help me preach a good sermon." And she said to him, "How come he doesn't answer?" Well, today is Trinity Sunday. And I know a lot of pastors, and I used to do this on occasion, chose to try to preach on the doctrine of the Trinity, this Christian understanding that God is three in one, that God has revealed his Father and his Son and his Holy Spirit. Now, granted, that can be kind of a complicated and fascinating subject. In a sense, it's really a mystery beyond explaining, even though I know I've tried to do that from time to time. But for today, we'll leave that right there as a mystery. And as Pastor Steve noted, if I were preaching on the Trinity today, I would have asked God to help me with a sermon, which I always do. And then you might have said, like the 5-year-old, "Didn't God answer you?" Well, this sermon he entitled Christianity 101, because it focuses on John 3:16, which contains the whole gospel in just that one verse. It takes us to the heart of Christianity, back to the basics, if you will. It's all about the love of God, and we always like to hear that. It's about the blessings that we receive from our God. So, let's read that verse together. I know a lot of you already know it by heart anyway, but let's read it together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." And notice the scope of God's love. It's for all humanity. Reaches people everywhere in all time. Sometimes we can so complicate the gospel that we miss its simple beauty and power. For in this one verse again, the gospel, the power of God's love is proclaimed. God's mission is summarized. And all people, and that means you, are the object of God's love. Well, let's begin by looking at just the first 6 words. "For God so loved the world." It's an amazing statement. We know what the world is like. God's not naive. He created humanity. He knows what's in the human heart. That which was once pure and good took a mighty fall. The innocence of the Garden of Eden was fractured by the sin of Adam and Eve, and it's grown only exponentially worse since then. God sees the wars, oppression, immorality, and still God chooses to love the world. He sees how sin has separated us from him and from each other. He sees the brokenness in which we live, and And he loves us anyhow. Perhaps somebody here, perhaps someone you know, is quick to say, well, God can't possibly love me. I'm so bad. However, John 3:16 says that you are a child of God. You are the object of his love. And then there are those who, while God knows that a lot of us reject him, and I've heard people say this frequently, and I'm sure you have too, well, I don't need God. I don't need anyone to save me. I've got it all under control. And God loves us anyway. Pastor Steve's former youth director became a Christian when he was in high school. He told him that before then, he thought it was nonsense, this talk about a savior. He was offended by the idea that someone would have to die for him. He was then invited to a church youth group by one of his friends, and he went just to see what it was like. And it was in the context of that group, of the loving example of someone else among those youth, who opened his eyes and his heart to receive the love of God. You see those words on the screen right now. Pay attention. God doesn't ask you if he can love you. Think about that. God doesn't ask you if he can love you. God doesn't ask us if he can send a savior. God acts because he loves. And because we are his creation, that is what God does. And I love this. You can't stop God from loving you. You can't do it. Pastor H.B. London is reported to have said this somewhat frequently to his congregation, and maybe we all need to hear this. If you were the only person on earth, God would have sent his son to save you. You see, the relationship that we have with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is initiated by God. It starts at the very foundation with his love for you. Well, here's how the Bible describes God's nature. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. There were a couple of words missing from that quote there, but you get it. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. God is a God who loves, and God loves the unlovable. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? There's a lot of days that we're pretty unlovable. So just a reminder, those first six words of John 3:16, for God so loved the world, is the core of the gospel. When God looks at our world, he sees what we often try to ignore or hide. He sees the hurt in our lives, the shame that fills our hearts, the misery we are going through. He sees drug-wrecked lives and those who are bored and feel that life is meaningless. He sees murder and violence and hatred, bitterness and anger. He sees greed and oppression, abuse and famine and death and tears and fear of every kind. God sees it all. And his reaction to all of that is not anger or ruthless justice. God's reaction is love. He has deep concern for us, and he's moved with love for the whole world. So this verse from John 3:16 is for all of us, for all people, forever. And it simply and clearly says, God so loved the world. One of the important words in that little phrase is the shortest one, so. It is. Because it says God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It speaks, this word so speaks of the unbounded nature of God's love for the people of his creation. God so loved the world. Well, now John 3:16 continues. He so loved the world, he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish. And now we come to the word gave, another common, simple little word. But it speaks not only of the coming of Jesus at his birth, but also of the crucifixion. God, seeing our desperate condition, did something to overcome that. But it was not easy. It took terrible darkness and awful separation and unspeakable shame. And the Apostle Paul wrote this: he who knew no sin was made sin for us. Upon the cross, Jesus, the Son, took our place. He paid the debt of our sin and reconciled us to God, so that we will not perish, so that we will not be separated from God for all of eternity. You see, John 16 is the best news ever proclaimed. It is the Father's promise of assurance to everyone who believes in the Son. And so now listen to what Peter said when he was questioned by the religious authorities. He said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Remember that. I mean, throughout history, there have been all those who say, well, Jesus can't be the only way. There must be certainly other ways to get to heaven. Skeptics doubt Jesus at all. Woke Christians today deny that Jesus is the only way to heaven. And some would say to us, well, you don't really believe that, do you? And Pastor Steve said this: my response is, I do believe this. But whether we do or don't isn't really the issue. Because these are the words of Jesus. He said that by believing in him, we will not perish. And so those words are not a threat of condemnation. For listen to what Jesus said in John 3:17. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. The words of these two verses are a promise that bring comfort and assurance. The belief in Jesus brings us into eternal life. Now, there's much we don't know about life after death, but this we do know. If you believe in Jesus, you will receive eternal life. Pastor Steve also relates this little anecdote. The late Pastor E.V. Hill was a black preacher in Los Angeles who I had the honor of meeting nearly 40 years ago, Steve wrote. In a sermon he preached called God at His Best, he spoke about this tremendous sacrifice God made for us by using the example of his love for his 21-month-old grandson, E.V. Hill III, which he and his wife called Third. And like all grandparents, they adored this little guy. He was gorgeous. He was cute, a picture of innocence. He was the love of their life. Any grandparents relate to that? Then Pastor Hill said, I want to be frank with you. If I had to give my grandson for you to keep you out of hell, you'd have to go. It's true. You'd have to go to hell if I had to give up my grandson. But God, who has a love I cannot comprehend, who has mercy and grace I cannot touch, loved me so much that he gave his only begotten son who knew no sin so that we might become children of God, heirs on our way to heaven, bound for glory. We already have a foretaste of it. That had to be God at his best. So Pastor Hill understood this amazing love of God that so far exceeds our love. God gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish. There are two words not mentioned in John 3:16, but are indicated or implied in that verse. The words are mercy and grace. Mercy. God does not give us what we deserve. Think on that. God does not give us what we deserve. Grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. God gives us what we don't deserve. We won't perish. That's God's mercy. But we receive forgiveness of our sin. That's God's grace. You probably heard Pastor Steve mention this before, but he refers to this or describes it as the happy exchange. God gives us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. Christ gives us his righteousness in exchange for our sin. John 3:16 tells us that by faith in Jesus, we receive eternal life. Whoever believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And the word believe there is not a passive verb. It's an active verb. It's an action. It is a doing. It is a being. It is the difference about knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus. I think we often think of eternal life as that which a believer experiences after he or she dies. Well, it is that. But it's more than that. Eternal life, which Jesus speaks about, begins at the moment that faith comes into our life. It is part of our earthly experience. For eternal life means that you no longer will live life by your own will, but you live your life by the will of God. It means you are born from above as a child of God and live in the unending presence of God. So this begins now and continues forever. Eternal life describes what we experience when we believe in Jesus. For daily, then, we are a new creation. God has declared you righteous, even in the midst of sin, so that your desires are no longer centered on the self, but on the need and the desire and the urgency to honor God. And your love for God extends then to love for your neighbor, for each other. And the fruit of the Spirit has redefined your life. See, we don't have to wait until we die to know about eternal life. We experience it now, lived in the unending presence of God. Pastor Steve writes again a little anecdote here. And I received an email from a couple whom I'd known for years. One of them is dealing with a very serious cancer diagnosis. I know what that diagnosis can do for your psyche. I know what a robber of hope and a joy that news can be. But I love their response. They wrote that they were going to continue living life to the fullest. They'll still have dinners out with family and friends. They will take the trips they had planned. They will do all this as long as it's possible. For they are not giving up or giving in. They are living each day in the glorious presence of God. John 3:16 is the whole gospel. Whoever believes in Jesus Christ shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, that doesn't mean God isn't concerned about our sins. We can't be free of the consequences of our sin until something is done about them. And everywhere in Scripture, we're reminded that Jesus came to set us free from our sins, not to leave us in them, to set us free. Jesus wants us to clearly understand that our sins do not keep us from coming to Him, nor Him to us. We can now come to Him knowing we will be received with open, extended arms of welcome. The Apostle Paul expressed God's love this way in Romans. There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God has removed the condemnation, made it possible for us to come freely and openly home to Him. The basics of the gospel, there in John 3:16. Now, because this is Trinity Sunday, Pastor Steve would suggest that we embrace this kind of Trinitarian summary of the gospel. It's on the screen. God the Father loves you. Jesus Christ died for you. The Holy Spirit has a wonderful plan for your life. God the Father loves you. Jesus died for you. The Spirit has a surprise for you. So there it is. Christianity 101. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us eternal life, a life that begins now and never ends. Holy Spirit, come into our hearts so that we can believe this wonderful promise and can experience the fullness of life you desire to give us. Amen.